Whenever you're ready, Chairman.
Get that out of the way. All right. Then we'll go ahead and call to order the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. We'll start with roll call.
Chairman Lee Young.
Present.
Vice Chairman Dana Hennis. Commissioner Tyson Garten.
Present.
Commissioner Jeannie Greger.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Main.
Present.
Okay. And first up is the consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Then first up under public hearings, we have case number 22-13-SUP, special use permit for Idaho Power. So,
good evening, commissioners. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. Idaho Power Company requests special use permit approval for portions of the proposed Beaumont to Hubbard 230 kilovolt transmission line upgrade project located in the city of CUNA, which will run adjacent to Barker Road and Cloverdale Road within the CUNA area of city impact. The portion of the transmission line located within Ada County's jurisdiction was approved by their commission on October 13, 2022. Staff has determined the applicant's special use permit request is within compliance with CUNA City Code Title V, the Comprehensive Plan, and Idaho Code. Staff recommends the commission approve the special use permit, with the applicant being subject to the conditions of approval listed in the staff report, as well as any additional conditions designated by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I will stand by for questions.
Okay. Are there any questions for Doug at this time?
I don't.
Okay. Then will the applicant please come forward and just state your name and address for the record, please.
That's fancy. Thank you, Chair and Commissioners. Jeff Mafuccio with Idaho Power. Address, work address is 1221 West Idaho Street, Boise, Idaho, 83702. I appreciate your time tonight. I know I was here a couple weeks ago on a substation. Somewhat, you know, that substation will tie into the existing line along this route, but essentially we're upgrading we're trying to utilize an existing transmission line route to add a second circuit of transmission. So that will be basically two sets of wires on one pole, and I'll show some images of that. But of the 16-mile project, approximately 3 miles is in the CUNA city limits. And so, like I was saying, we want to minimize the impacts by not building new transmission line routes through the CUNA area and that part of Ada County. We recognize we did a project similar to the north from Franklin Road down to our Cloverdale station. And so we recognize there are some traffic issues along with all the other development going along Cloverdale Road. I think that's something we want to work towards, making sure we're in better coordination with developers, ACHD, to alleviate those pain points for folks in the area. And finally, the project is to increase the power coming into the valley for just for all the growth. Let's see. So just a little overview of our transmission system. We have this red is a 500 kilovolt line. This runs from near Shoshone, Idaho, through Hemingway Station, which is down near between Murphy and Melba, and then on into Oregon. That's a major interstate, right? Then we have our orange lines, which are 230 kilovolt, and those connect across our service area. A lot of these lines are from our generation facilities, hydro, some of our gas plants, and so those connect through the valley, connecting, you know, these major urban and growing suburban areas. And then the light blue are 138 kilovolt lines. And so those are what's coming into our substations, like I described for the Hawk station, connecting Hawk, CUNA station, et cetera. And so you can see that we lack an orange. We have orange from Hemingway to Beaumont, and then this Cloverdale to Hubbard that we built recently. So you can see we lack continued connection here, right? So what it creates is a resiliency issue. So if one of these other orange lines, we lose them, we've lost a lot of ability to serve into this more major transmission network. So that's essentially what we're trying to do, is we're trying to complete that circuit, right? And again, we want to utilize an existing transmission line route where possible, so we're not building more transmission on people's roads. So with that, the project route starts here at our Beaumont station. That is off Happy Valley Road in south of Nampa, and it crosses King Road. South Side, and then it crosses into Ada County through a lot of BLM land. This is our CUNA tap that goes into the CUNA station, continues up across BLM land and then onto Barker and then up Cloverdale. And the challenge with Cloverdale Road, and I'll show some renderings here in a minute, is we've got this 230 line already coming over on CUNA Road and going north into the Hubbard Morris stations. And then we've got the single 138 line that we want to rebuild. So we have a point here at CUNA Road where we have to jump. We're going to have a two-mile section where we have to have transmission lines on both sides. And it's not favorable. It's just you can't put more than two on a set of poles. So I want to show that with an overlay of the city limits. So as you can see, we cross some properties here. We're actually working with this property owner to mitigate how we cross their irrigated land. Our solution right now is to have poles that we span completely over that irrigated field. We looked at trying to go to the edges, BLM through a fit, because it affects where we enter and exit their property, even though it seems like a inconsequential change. And then we go through city limits here, south of this neighborhood, and then north of Cunamora Road, where our new Hawks substation is right here, and then county for a ways up to CUNA Road, and on up to our substations. So this is an image. I broke this up into what's south of CUNA Road along Cloverdale and even on Barker to Eagle Road. We've got these wood structures with a single 138 kilovolt. They're about 80 feet tall. And then we would be replacing them with these monopole double circuit steel poles that hold both the transmission lines. Again, similar to what we have on Cloverdale Road, so this is going up to CUNA Road. So it's the same as what we have on Cloverdale Road from CUNA Road north all the way to Franklin Road. Where it becomes a little bit of a challenge is using a same picture from before as an example, but this is what we have existing on Cloverdale Road north of CUNA Road. And this is where we'll have to put that transmission line on the left side. And again, these are 120 foot tall structures. And we have designed in for future distribution circuits. So that adds a little bit of that height, so we can minimize the number of poles we have along the side of the road. I would like to add that these newer poles that exist north of CUNA Road are already set back pretty far to accommodate future road widening. And we will do the same south of CUNA Road along Cloverdale. We'll set those poles back to allow for future road widening products that may come along. We've been working with ACHD on what they need for right-of-way. And the same with these poles. We're working to locate them back to accommodate ACHD plans. We've actually been out. We've been meeting with landowners along the road so we can survey. We can make changes as they would like to see. And then we plan to start purchasing easements once the permitting is approved. So we have been in that constant communication with landowners along this route. So just to cover, You know, we expect to construct this within existing right-of-ways and easements or where we need to purchase those new easements for that 2 miles north of Cuna Road. We'll acquire, you know, so we've been having those conversations, but we plan to acquire once we have the permitting complete because we don't want to, you know, there's kind of a risk in spending that money and not having permitting just yet. We expect to build this in three phases. For, I guess, the phase that is of most interest to CUNA, that would be in 2025 to 2026, that construction season. So we expect to start further west in 23, and then the midsection, the BLM area mostly, in 24, and then on as we go on the east side of this project, 25 to 26. And again, I want to stress that we are working with ACHD, and we'll work with the city and any other developers in the area on contingencies and concerns over traffic restrictions as our trucks might be working in travel lanes. We want to minimize impacts to folks. A couple of years ago, when we were working on that transmission line, there was a lot of other stuff going on. Cloverdale Road, you know, north into Boise, and it was causing major headaches for folks. We had two public meetings. So we had an initial one back in February. That was for our Ada County permit. And then we held another one here at the CUNA Public Library. And then we held another one in June to meet the CUNA city code requirements. Of those two meetings, we had a total of 10 folks show up. We didn't receive any formal comments at the meetings. We did receive a public comment, or the city received a public comment recently. I think the main focus was on those construction impacts and those concerns. I'm happy to discuss that further. And then again, we had public outreach, so we covered the project purpose, the benefits of it. We'll bring bulk electricity into the region. Not being driven by MEDA, this has been a project that's been on our books for 12 years. But it's, you know, the region's growing, and we're at the point where we need to have that power by 26. We're starting to show deficits in our grid. So looking through the standards evaluation that y'all consider, that the staff consider, you know, we believe this is important as it's, it protects the grid, allows for growth. We're obligated to serve all customers. We want to make sure we do that reliably and at a fair cost. And this will provide that additional network into Ada County. This would seem like the most viable route, you know, versus a greenfield route or going up an entirely different route to get to the, from point to point, right, from Beaumont to the Hubbard Station. This has been a budgeted project for several years, so there's no additional cost borne to our ratepayers or folks within CUNA, Ada County. And again, we'll be within easements, and we've been working with ACHD on setbacks. And that's it.
How wide are the easements that you're looking at purchasing?
It varies. We have easements that are 50 feet down to 25 feet. The old easements are 25 feet where there are an overhang. But we, in some areas, we can go, I think 50 is our widest. Okay. And with that monopole, you know, the pole itself is maybe 4 foot diameter, and the insulators, the arms that go out, are usually 10 to 15 feet on each side.
Okay. Another question. I'm looking at north of Cuna Road where we've got the poles on both sides.
Yeah.
And
I know.
And it looks kind of overwhelming to me.
Yes.
And you say you're working with ACHD, but does ACHD really have a grasp on what is going to be out there eventually? Because I think what they've got out there now may accommodate three lanes.
Our last conversation was they wanted 80 feet to accommodate 5 lanes of total travel. That may have included... 3 lanes and it's not a bike path any longer, but a multi-use path of some sort. That's the challenge. That's why we want to get easements, is it protects our assets. So if they do move, we have a little bit more leverage to work with ACHD on determining where our facilities go. You know, their long-term plan, Whiting-Cloverdale Road, South Kuna Road, is not even in their long-term plan right now. I think it should be. I think it should be in their short-term plan, really, the way things are going. So we did the best we could in our communication with them to try to understand what they absolutely need in this area.
How easy is it to move those?
It's not so much how easy it is, it's how much it costs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that between Idaho Power and ACHD that we're looking far enough in the future that it doesn't come back to bite us.
And I think that's a great point. We have a couple of years. The poles that we order are the same, no matter how far back you set them. But we still have the opportunity to continue that conversation with ACHD. This is still a few years out in terms of constructing this, but we would need to go back and obtain wider easements in that time frame, if necessary.
Thank you.
Any other questions at this time?
I don't have any.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then open the public testimony at 6:16. And I don't see anybody signed in to testify. I'll just verify, is there anybody here that would like to testify that has not?
Just the only reason I came is, look, I am in fact affected by this.
Okay. I guess if you do, just so that we have it on the record, could you just sign in and then come up to the podium if you would? That way it's on the recording for the record. Thank you.
I love it. Okay. I am neutral at this point. Oh, address. Got it. Thank you for your patience.
No worries.
Yeah, some of those have been there since the 70s.
You don't have to actually read this, do you?
I do, but I'm pretty good at it.
Okay.
And you'll state your name and address for the record.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Should I go ahead? Great, thanks. My name is Brad Peters. I live at 12467 South Cloverdale Road. And I don't know if it was you, but I've had, and I just want to say they've been very cooperative. When I first got the card, I called someone who was supposedly in charge of the project, and they came out to my house with an engineer and had a conversation. I still don't understand, with the set of poles on the other side, if you're going to have them over there, why they couldn't have put these new poles on that same side somewhere before the development and everything else went in, since it's going to hop back over onto that side of the street and be on the east side all the way down, why they still can't put up another set if those are full, so it doesn't have to be on our side where there isn't anything like this in our area. So that was one thing. I'm just thinking there should be a way around that, or put another 20 feet on top of the poles you have and stick them up there, because that way it's not in my front yard. It is a pretty big eyesore. So I think that's probably my main concern, and can't quite understand why someone couldn't have figured that out, just because that is my property right there. The other thing that I don't quite understand is why in the existing poles that are there, the wimpy little wood ones, I have one on my property and the next one's all the way at my neighbor's property, and under the new premise, they're actually going to add, besides the steel ones in that place, there's another pole going on my property, supposedly for smaller distribution. And so I'm thinking, well, can't I just get away with one, and why do I have to have a second pole on my property at this point? That, is there an alternative to that? So, I understand we got to have power. The place is growing. Like I said, my pockets aren't deep enough to try and pay them to do something different. And I'm realistic about that. I still just, it boggles my mind that they would need to do it on both sides at this point. My other concern is with the road. I was in contact with ACHD. That five-lane plan's been for a long time. So my question is they said 80 feet because before it was 110. And so for five lanes. So I just want to be clear on that because that is taking chunks off of the front of my property every time they do that. And then I have one quick question. The existing stake when the surveyor came out, is that accurate to the best of your knowledge? Okay. And that's like the center of the pole kind of thing. Okay. I think that's pretty much it. I still don't understand why it can't be on the other side of the road because they already got poles there and all that stuff is there. And, you know, it seems to me there ought to be a way to work around that. If they have to get easements or whatever, they could do it on that side where the lines already are. And then they don't have to top across the street at the intersection and stuff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peters. I'll let our engineer from HDR here, Jimmy, maybe answer about why. I'm not an engineer, but I don't think we can do three circuits on one poles. But on the distribution, we will have, so your home is served by a overhead distribution, right? The wire comes to your meter. And so we'll have to have poles set, you know, the dinky wood poles set between these transmission structures so that wire can come off and go to the meter on residents like that have at some point, I think in the 80s, we went to mostly underground, right, where the distribution's underground, you have the green meter box, but on older homes and larger lots, you have an overhead service line to the meter. And so it may just be the way the length of the span of that distribution wire that we need an intercept pole. It may be 115 feet with ACHD. My understanding was, at least for South Acuna Road, it was 80 feet. But I don't recall what it is north of our, really north of Amity. I don't recall what that width is, but that's essentially what they want to match up to along Cloverdale Road. But if I may, I'd ask Jimmy to answer about having three circuits on one set of poles. Oh, and I'll add it, Mr. Peters, it was Jimmy and I that met with you when we were between project managers.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Do you need my name and address as well?
Yes, please.
All right, Jimmy Bucher. Address, work address, 412 East Park Center, Boise, Idaho, 83706. It was me that was there, so right. Cool. Yeah, it was me that talked to you. So I want to talk about why triple circuit on this doesn't work. So if we were to take a structure like this and add that third transmission circuit on there, as you can see here, we've got that spacing and distance between these two electrical circuits. We would need to maintain that as well. So if we start adding on to the top and growing upwards, we run into three major items here of concern from an engineering standpoint. The first one is we run into FAA issues. So the FAA does limit and require height limitations to transmission structures. And this area is getting close to the Boise Airport, so that would be of a concern. I wouldn't say that would necessarily stop something like this from being possible, but that's one area of concern just to note. The second here is the size of the structure itself that would need to be built to handle a third circuit is getting to the point where modern manufacturers have a tough time making those structures that big. If you can imagine these poles now with even the double circuit on the other side, you know, we've got a pretty big girth on these steel poles. Adding a circuit on top of that, what that does is that, A, adds to the amount of load applied to that structure. So we apply load in a couple different ways here. One is the ice loading. So there's a potential to have ice buildup on the wires themselves. And that causes additional vertical weight on the wire and on the structure that supports it. The second is wind. The wind blowing on the wires and the structure is another that causes forces on these structures. And then you've got the tension of the wires themselves as well as the other force that acts on these structures. So if we add on another triple circuit above this, what have we done? We've increased our forces applied to these structures in all three of those categories, both vertically, what I would call transverse or perpendicular, as well as longitudinally or parallel to the line itself. What that ultimately causes is forces that these structures need to withstand because we are under certain guidelines when we design these structures. So at a bare minimum, we have to abide by the National Electric Safety Code. And this National Electric Safety Code dictates certain load cases, so that being a weather event, so a certain amount of wind, a certain amount of ice, and a certain temperature be applied to these structures when we're calculating the loads. And so adding additional load to these structures up top, what that ultimately does as well is it comes down to the ground because these are all on foundations. So now we've also increased the loads applied to the foundation as well and increased that size and depth. So when we run into these issues, not only do we have that issue with the FAA, but we've increased our height and we've increased the load or the forces applied to these structures, both from the steel standpoint as well as to the foundation standpoint, we start running into restrictions from manufacturing and construction that also limit the ability. And to point out too, if we did, that would require the existing line that's there to be completely rebuilt as well. And those structures, if this were possible, let's say, to build with three circuits on there, the size and girth of all of those towers would substantially increase.
Building 2 miles
of sun
on the other side of the road. Do it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I will add, this is, maybe the vantage point of the simulation on the left side, because you can't see the whole thing, so it does take up a lot of the picture. But if we backed up, we were afraid that you wouldn't be able to see the one on the right side as well either. But if you can imagine, it is the same height. It'd be the same height on both sides. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay. And with that, we'll close the public testimony at 6:27. And that was our discussion. For comments, thoughts?
No.
Okay. I think majority of it gets to follow the same path. It is unfortunate that it has to get, especially down that section of road where there's all that development right there, but on and existing people. But I understand it. But it's a need we have with our growing community to just add infrastructure.
Yeah, it's definitely an eyesore, but it's needed.
So I don't have any.
No, I think if Idaho Power works with ACHD to mitigate any future impact to the roadway for future use, I think that would work for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have anything additional. it's unfortunate it has to be on both sides of the road at that point, and that it runs across, you know, we need the easement, but unfortunately we need the power, so.
Well, with that, Mr. Chair, I would recommend that we approve 22-13-SUP Beaumont to Hubbard Transmission Line Upgrade Special Use Permit with conditions outlined in staff report.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Appreciate it. And thank you.
Appreciate
hopefully
your
that
comments.
Answered some of your
oh, you know,
concerns.
It just, remember, as we talked before, it is what it is. You know, and so I appreciate you being able to speak and carry on.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Then next item up. We have under business items is case number 22-35-design review for Kuna Police Station.
Commissioners, for the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, Kuna. The City of Kuna requests design review approval for a new police station, shop, parking lot, and landscaping. The subject site is located at 793 West 4th Street. The subject site has frontage on West 4th Street with existing curb, gutter, and attached sidewalk. Ingress egress for the site will utilize the existing driveway onto West 4th Street, and cross access will be provided from Kuna City Hall to the immediate east. The proposed police station will be approximately 5,399 square feet with a 960 square foot shop. Exterior building materials, as shown in Exhibit 2.9, will match existing City Hall. The existing sod landscape buffer along West 4th Street will be removed and replaced with RTF turf-type tall fescue. The remainder of ground cover on site will consist of a mix of turf-type tall fescue and 1-inch washed rock mulch. The proposed parking lot provides 18 standard stalls and 2 ADA accessible stalls. Additional parking will be provided from the existing City Hall parking lot. Upon review, staff finds the application to be in compliance with Title V of Kuna City Code, the Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map, and Idaho Code. Staff recommends the commission approve case number 22-35-DR with the conditions of approval listed in Section 8 of this report. With that, I will answer any questions you may have.
Okay. I have none at this time.
I guess just to... The existing trash bin enclosure, is that sufficient for both City Hall and the police station?
Yep, so there will be the existing enclosure, and Chris may be able to answer this as well, but they are working out roll bins to be utilized by J&M Sanitation as well in addition to that trash enclosure.
Chris Engel, City Clerk for the City of Kuna. The roll bins will be used during construction. And then once construction is completed, then we will evaluate if we need to expand for trash service. We won't want to use tip carts, and we'll have to evaluate what type of throwaway they can have as far as shred, you know, potentially. So that will be evaluated further on. But yes, we will have dumpsters during construction and demolition.
Okay, thank you. And then my second question, where we're removing the parking stalls for entry into the gated area, the secured parking, there's an ADA stall that to me sits there for people entering the park and the pathway system. Is there any... I guess I didn't do any counts. Does between what we're putting in for the police station and what we have at City Hall, is there enough extra to help, you know, accommodate for losing that one so close to the pathway? It's right next to the existing trash enclosure.
Oh, yeah. For the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning. Yeah, so with the one ADA that was removed, we will be adding two for the police station. That is an that exceeds the requirement of what would be required for CUNA City Code per square footage.
Can I clarify, Chair? Are you asking if we're going to replace it with a courtesy ADA parking, like maybe on the south side facing the Greenbelt? Was that maybe what you were asking?
No, I was, from just looking at the plan, it seemed like we had between the city hall and the police station an additional stall that could help. That would kind of replace what's there. It's not a long distance from where the two new ones are to the entry, the pathway. So that I'm just, right. I was just verifying my suspicion is all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions at this time?
No, but I have a couple comments. A couple things. On the shop building, it looks like that's going to be a metal building.
Correct.
And I think that because that building actually fronts in a parallel plane with the police station, that needs to match the front of the police station as far as having a stone wainscoting. And reason for that is metal buildings take a lot of abuse. And you're right on a pathway there. It's going to get kicked. So I think I would like to see a stone wainscoting on the front of that metal building, number one. And I also think the wainscoting should extend around the north side of the police station. And then in some of the renderings, you have your secondary entryways. It seems like the roof line continues out the same length,
Jessica,
as the main entry.
Could you advance these are the artistic ones, and so could you advance and see if we can display ADPs? Let me address the wainscoting or the stone on the north side. The reason that there is not stone on that side was multiple factors. One, wanted to highlight where the actual public entrance is so that the secured doors on the north side did not have the public trying to go to them, because those are secured doors. So that was a visual deterrent or a visual cue for the public to access from the east side. Also, in addition, there will be signage, and there was a little bit of it you could see from the artistic view on that north side that will say the CUNA Police Station, bold enough that that's identifiable when passing through. So that was the reason why wainscoting did not go around to the front or to the north side. Your next question, I missed that one more time. You said something about, was it roof lines?
The shop.
Oh, the shop. You know, really boils down to the investment of taxpayer dollars and the visual being that will hold a trailer, a cargo trailer for the motorcycles and such. And so the choice was made to go with a metal building because it was an auxiliary building and not the primary, you know, just based on the utilization of taxpayer funds, because it does increase the cost substantially to convert that over to a stucco. And then there was a third one, sir?
The third one is just the rendering that you have here.
Okay.
Where the secondary entry, the roof structures, goes out as far as the roof structure for the main entry. And you're showing knee braces there, and if it's actually built the way it's shown, it's going to be extremely difficult for that roof to stay in place.
Are you talking?
Your architect needs to basically modify the structure so it's buildable.
Are you talking about on the on that top left? Are you talking about the right hand side?
Go to page 259.
So those are artistics.
Yeah, the entry that's closest to us.
Mm-hmm.
It extends out as far as the main entry does.
Yeah, that's artistic, and that's the artistic rendering. So the ones we were previously looking at that are not artistic in nature, that doesn't extend that far back. So if we went to the previous page that we were on, that is actually the architect's rendering, and so that you will see on this one where that does not come out nearly as far.
Page 255, Commissioners. North elevation, black and white.
And then I will note there were building code requirements. And so the large window, the second from the left large window, and the third will be vertical. Can you go all the way over, Jessica? So kind of centered in there, there's I'm not going to cite this correctly in the terms, so I'm going to give you the layman's terms, and that is that there are building requirements that limit because of the security of the building and the thickness, just some different factors like that. Two of those windows to make it balance are, instead of being vertical, are going to be horizontal towards the top. So they'll line up across the top to have uniformity in the upper line, and then they will be, but not as long, so they'll be horizontal, not vertical. And that was in response to requirements when it went through the engineering process, just requirements on the building code. And that's what the architect has notified us of.
Going back to the shop, I wasn't implying that the total building construction should be changed, just the east face of the building, to where it more matches the front of the police station and City Hall. Since the building is facing the parking lot, which is used by City Hall and the police station. So I would think an accent wainscot would help with that, as opposed to having it look like you're in somebody's backyard.
For the record, Doug Hansen, Cuno Planning and Zoning, is that something that would only be able to be accomplished with a stone, or could paint or something more like that suffice from your point of view?
It could be accomplished with a stone veneer, or it could even be accomplished with another piece of sheet metal running in a different direction that would reflect the colors of the City Hall and the police station.
So So I do know the auxiliary building will be the same color as the police station. It's not a separate color. I'm going to ask for a second. No, I guess I have to ask a question.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning Zoning. Commissioner Bain, would it be acceptable for us to research the cost associated since it is taxpayer funded and there will be impact fees that will go to paying for the structure in the long run, but we need to make sure for budgeting purposes and things like that how that will factor into the overall design and cost of the project?
Could you repeat that? I don't quite understand what you're asking.
So Chris might be able to explain this better than I can, but for the budgeting purposes of the project, since it is being paid by taxpayers, we need to be able to make sure that it would fit into the budget we currently have. If not, we would need to go back to City Council for an approval of additional funds.
We would have to probably go to a change order. We'd have to do another change order with the architect for design.
I would think that by using the same material and running it in a different direction, the cost would be extremely minimal.
So you're going at two town?
Yeah. See if I can draw out here.
Jessica, can you scroll so I can get the dimension on the east face of that shop?
This is where I need. This freestyle is not working.
We have a different view for the shop.
It should be part of the.
It should be. So the
right. Well, that's something we probably can work out with the contract.
That's very crude, but you know, like that.
Just on the east side, though, is that correct?
Yep. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, we think it would be doable with the corrugated metal wainscot on the east side of the shop to match. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And I guess your comment on the north side on the wainscot. I had some of the same initial thoughts, but I'm thinking, looking at the, I know the rendering doesn't show the same as the landscape plan, but the landscape plan, if it's planted as indicated with those grasses that in a line along that north elevation, those grasses, you know, annually get up to about 4 feet. And if it's as closely planted as they are, they could almost cover the bottom from grade up to the sill height on those windows and help alleviate that lack of architectural interest, at least on that elevation, if you know what I mean. I know that cost is always a concern with the public buildings and schools.
Yeah, I think with the right landscaping, the north side could get by the way it is.
Okay. Any other thoughts or concerns?
Questions? I've got no problem with it. I like this. I think it matches all of this around here. I don't disagree with the shop having the corrugated wainscoting on the east side. I think this all looks good. I have no problem with it at all.
Yeah, I'm excited that they'll have a new building.
I am too.
probably not as excited as they are, but and I think it'll be great having those two parts of the city and police that close together. I like that. So,
I guess my question would be to staff, is this part of the impact fee increase?
So, I was going to update you on that. So, we did a new CIP, and so there is an increase in police impact fees to be reflective. But the impact fees that growth has generated and will continue to generate as growth ebbs and flows, those funds will be directed towards paying for this building. So we won't be due for a couple years for another CIP. And at that time, you know, you calculate in what your assets, you're well familiar with that, so just for the record, I'm stating that. But the city will take all incoming impact fees, the ones that are currently in the accounts, and also the future ones that will be coming in to reimburse the taxpayer funds, the general fund, for the station. We don't have an exact dollar amount of what construction is going to cost. We have some guesses. But, yes, impact fees will be what pays for this building.
Okay. In today's world, I like the comment, guesses on the his construction costs are everywhere.
The timeline for that is hopefully we will have our final plans by the end of this week so that we can publish for a request for bid. We'll upload digital documents to Quest CDN, And then we will publish for two consecutive weeks, so it would be next Wednesday and the following Wednesday. We would do a pre-bid meeting on November 30th, and then we would do bid opening on December... Look at a calendar. I think it was the 10th, somewhere around in there, so that we could get to maybe a couple days after that, so that we can then get to council the second meeting in December with the anticipated bid, find out how much we need council to authorize the funds. So okay. That's the timeline, and then we would work with a contractor after that on the timeline for building, go through, any building permit process. We will hold to the same standards that everybody else. We may have an impact fee for ACHD. We may need to acquire additional EDUs based on fixture count. So we will follow through on all those processes, inspections, and all that. We're excited. We've had an excellent team, staff team, to go through the process. And the building itself is designed and has been since the beginning so that in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, maybe when we've all gone on, or at least I've retired, if there needs to be more space, that we're not trying to build another building, or we're not trying to buy another, location, that this facility can be added on to. And then this building also will serve as, with the fire department doing their new build, the one thing that they will not have is an emergency management room. Mm-hmm. And so the large conference room in here, which I believe there is a diagram of the interior, that also will be set up to function as that emergency system room if we had a large emergency event. And there's also a generator that will be that will be off of natural gas. So in the event we had a complete, blackout and it continued on, we still will be able to have this building functioning, fully lit, so that, if anything happens, that we can still provide the level of safety for the community that they deserve and have invested in. So we really tried to get as much as we possibly can. We are using mid-grade finishes, nothing high-end. We've really tried to be budget-conscious through the process.
This may or may not be something you can answer, but do they anticipate having to increase staff immediately in this building?
No. In fact, I just... I was talking with the mayor and the chief, and the chief sent over information. But, since the mayor has been the mayor, the focus has been on community safety. And the national average is one officer per 1,000 mm-hmm. residents. And we were well under that mm-hmm. when Mayor Steer came into office. And working with Ada County Sheriff's Office, working with the chiefs that we've had some pretty amazing chiefs that have come through. We're really closing in on that number. And we just funded in a grant and are bringing on two motor officers. Mm-hmm. And so it was a successful grant, so we're going to see them on their new bikes after the first of the year. And in that process, we know, and the chief and the mayor and Bobby and his department and Doug and engineer, everybody's been on the team. Everybody's been communicating through this process. And so as part of that, there's enough room. They can double up offices when necessary and when needed. There's report room. But the goal is not to provide somewhere to sit all day, but to come in and effectively be able to do their paperwork and then get back out to be with the community and law enforcement. And so it's not scheduled to hire two or three. The goal is to try and reach that one officer per thousand over time as the budget can absorb that. But we also look at additional funding opportunities to help mitigate that investment. So,
yeah. I know that I work with Nampa PD a lot with my church, and one of their concerns is having officers sitting in their cars filling out reports because there's nowhere for them to go and fill out reports without having to go across the town to get to the station, fill out the report, and then back out on the beats. And I think this offers a great solution for our officers not having to sit in their car, because when their head's down and they're filling out reports, that leaves them very vulnerable to the elements. So.
Exactly. That is exactly what Chief Rutusko has explained to us. Yeah, and it also, South County officers, so officers from Ada County Sheriff that work South County, if they needed to come to report, they needed to bring somebody in for questioning, those kind of things, there will be a secured room for questioning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're exactly spot on from what the chief has expressed quite clearly.
Yeah.
Is the pathway between the school and the current house going to remain, or does that go away?
Yes, Commissioner, that will remain.
Okay. I didn't quite see it.
There will be secure fencing in between the pathway and the station, but yes, that will remain and continue to be open for Greenbelt.
Okay, thank you.
Any other thoughts or comments? Stand for a motion.
Well, with that said, Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion that we approve case number 22-35-DR with the applicant being subject to recommended conditions stated on staff report, along with looking into corrugated wainscoting on the east side of the shop.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carries.
Thank you.
And thank you. And I don't see anything else on the agenda. Anything, any commissioner, anything staff has?
Okay. I just would like to confirm before our next meeting on November 9th, remember it will be a Wednesday, not a Tuesday due to the elections, and if anybody will be unable to attend besides Chairman Young, please let us know as soon as possible, as well as for the 22nd of November, so we can ensure a quorum.
We are having nacho meet on Monday. Any of you are welcome to come have nachos with us. We will be costumed up and we'll have a good time. It's 11:30 here in Chambers.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Then. Mr. Chair, I move that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Listen, Kim.